The Synod for Africa continues here in the Vatican. We look today at some of the issues of concern for the African continent. Special Auditor for the Synod, Father Sean O'Leary, is president of the Dennis Hurley Peace Institute, named for the South African Archbishop who worked ceaselessly for the end of apartheid. The Institute advocates for justice, peace, and reconciliation throughout Africa. Well, today, Father O'Leary takes us on a journey to a number of nations in southern Africa, beginning with what he calls the least known and most forgotten country, Swaziland, a nation smaller than the U.S. state of New Jersey. Here, Father O'Leary explains, the Catholic Church has only one diocese and one bishop, and they're concerned about the rights and freedoms of the Swazi people.
Swaziland is perhaps the last feudal monarchy in the world. Not even in Africa. It's ruled by decree by a king who's 40 years old, and the country is 40 years independent. There is no democracy. There are no political parties allowed. All around, they have seen change. They've seen change in Malawi from a one-party state to multi-democracy. They've seen change in Mozambique from a civil war to now a fairly flourishing democracy. They've seen change in South Africa. And basically, there's a whole wellspring of people saying, well, that's what we want as well. But there are probably the most draconian laws on the continent as regards human rights are in Swaziland. So that's one of the jobs of our institute, is supporting the church and churches, because they're very strong in Swaziland, particularly the Council of Churches. The Catholic bishop is a unknown, but a great, great man, called Louis Nglovu, who will be here at the Synod. And our job is really to help and sustain the wellspring of hope for democracy in that country. A practical example would be this. Through the intervention of Nelson Mandela, the king was kind of forced to write a constitution for the country.
It took about 10 years, but a constitution was drawn up by the king's own council of elders and imposed in 2006. The Dennis Hurley Institute was concerned that the population had no voice in the drafting of this national charter.
So we thought that, as an institute, one of the ways to highlight the abuses that are taking place in Swaziland was to challenge this constitution in the courts. Now, we knew we'd lose because all the judges are appointed by the king, so he runs the courts. But we knew that the Supreme Court of Appeal was made up of judges from outside the country, and we said that if we could get it as far as the Supreme Court of Appeal, we might have some chance. So we challenged the Constitution on two issues: the way the Constitution was made, so the process, and secondly, major contradictions in the Constitution. For example, they pertain to have a Bill of Rights, freedom of association, but political parties aren't allowed. Now, we knew, and we did lose at every court in the country, and we went to the Supreme Court of Appeal. But much to our surprise, we also lost that.
Despite their failure to win their case in the appeals court, the Hurley Institute felt the publicity surrounding its efforts would drive home to the population the importance of making their voice heard.
They have a right to say what political system they want to live under. So the struggle in Swaziland is something that is very dear because it's right on our borders. Swaziland forms part of our bishops' conference, and therefore it's very important that we support particularly the bishop and the church on the ground in these very difficult days in Swaziland.
These are difficult days too for the next country on Father O'Leary's journey to southern Africa, Zimbabwe, where Robert Mugabe's government has brought the former British colony to its knees, the brink of famine and disease.
Zimbabwe is a tragedy as we speak. The Catholic Church in Zimbabwe has been weak in leadership, mainly because of past, being too close to the government, not supporting the government, but having a respect. It's important to understand that in Zimbabwe, Robert Mugabe still enjoys a lot of support. He's the founding father. He's the liberator. He has overstayed his welcome, and everybody knows that. But there is a kind of a sneaking admiration for him. If you remember the elections of March last year, he still polled 43% of the national vote. and that is significant. And I think right across the country there is a respect for this founding father, the man who liberated the country, the man who brought Zimbabwe its freedom. Now, we all know he has lost the plot, okay? So it's very hard for the church and churches in Zimbabwe who were supportive of this great liberation hero to, not quite all of a sudden, but to begin to say, no, what he's doing, the abuses of power are wrong. And I think that's one of the roles that the Dennis Early Peace Institute plays. It's to say, we're not asking you to be overtly political. What we are asking you is to stand up for what the church stands for, which in gospel terms are gospel values, but in human rights terms are human rights. And I think the church, because you know, there's 8 bishops in Zimbabwe and they're good people, are under tremendous pressure. Because if you're anti-Mugabe, you become anti-government. And if you become an anti-government, then the full might and weight of the Zimbabwean government comes to you, as is in the case of Archbishop Pius Nkubi.
Archbishop Pius Nkubi of Bulawayo is an award-winning human rights activist and outspoken critic of President Mugabe. He was forced to resign in 2007 after he was implicated in what local church leaders describe as a politically motivated scandal.
So our work there at the moment is twofold. There is a crying need in Zimbabwe to write a new constitution, a constitution that would not allow the abuses of power that have taken place since the Lancaster Agreement in 1980 to happen again. A constitution that would be owned by the people, and a constitution that would be beyond Parliament and beyond the presidency. Now, we are very instrumental in doing a national campaign around constitution awareness. It is not our role, and it's not the church's role, to write constitutions. But it is the church's role to say, if there's going to be a new constitution, what should that constitution say? A constitution is the birth cert of a nation. So it's very important. And people are responding to it.
Father O'Leary now takes us further north on our African journey.
So the other country, as we move up with them, would be the east of the DRC. And that really is a tragedy that is incredible. There have been more people killed in the Democratic Republic of the Congo since the Second World War. That is the country that has suffered the greatest. It is a global catastrophe. Now, great strides have been made in the DRC. South Africa in particular played a leading role in trying to bring peace to the Democratic Republic of the Congo. They called all the warring factions to South Africa in 2000. They had 2 years protracted and difficult negotiations. They eventually came up, which is now a model for conflict resolution in the world, called the 1+4. It was President Kabila, first Laurent, now Joseph, and the 4 warring generals would come together in a government of national unity. One since pulled out, Bemba, and he is being tried in The Hague at the moment for crimes against humanity. But in general, that solution worked. There were presidential and parliamentary, national parliamentary elections, basically supported and run by the churches. And then there were provincial elections in about 2007. So a new democracy is coming to that country. But the east of the country, towns that, for people who understand Africa, would know well, Goma and Bukavu, are still held captive to mercenaries and militia who are there to protect external international interests, to exploit very rare mineral resources, which are the foundations of our cell phones and our laptops and our video players to this day. Different struggles have different characteristics, but in the east of the DRC, it has been the systematic violation of women's rights. In the DRC, it's sexual violence, and it's like a pandemic. What do you do in a situation like that as a Little Peace Institute working in South Africa? We try and show that the exploitation of those natural resources, which are to benefit people outside of the DRC, are causing this terrible violence on the local population. There is probably a real hero here in Rome for the Synod, and that's the Archbishop of Bukavu, a chap called Xavier Maroy. And he has been trying as best he can to expose what's happening. But money speaks. People aren't important. And as long as the West, and it is the West, can get their hands at whatever cost on these very scarce natural resources, this ongoing rape of the east of the DRC in North and South Kivu will continue.
Father Sean O'Leary is president of the Dennis Hurley Peace Institute based in South Africa. And tune in again tomorrow to the feature program when Father Sean O'Leary takes us to some of the countries which are success stories on the continent of Africa.